one of the most painful things in the world. Nobody should know from it. One of the most painful things in the world is a broken engagement. A potential relationship that wasn't finalized. It's a very painful thing. We're going to have to talk a little bit about that tonight, about broken engagements, what could be done. And looking forward to Simchas, looking forward to good things, good news. Let's begin in the parasha. Chukas Balak, we have the story, you all know, of Bilam, who was hired. Bilam was hired to curse the Jewish people. And in order to do so, he demanded that 7 altars be built. In order for him to perform this mysterious act of, God forbid, bringing destruction upon the Jewish people. So he told Balak that he needed to build 7 mizbachos, 7 altars. And the Medrash tells us why. Why did Bilam require 7 mizbeach, 7 altars in order to curse the Jewish people? What does that mean? So it says in the Tanchuma, Tanchuma Yoshen, and it's brought in the Yalkut Shemayni, the following Medrash. The pasuk says that Bilam told Balak, build for me 7 altars. To prepare the 7 of each of the necessary animals. So the Medrash asks, why is it that Bilam asked for 7 altars? Why? Keneged Shiva tzaddikim shabonu shavim mizbachos mi'adam ad Moshe v'nizkablu. The reason that he asked for 7 altars, because this corresponds to the 7 mizbeach, the 7 altars that were built from the time of Adam until Moshe Rabbeinu, and the sacrifices that were brought upon those altars were accepted by Hashem. Adam, Hevel, Noach, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe. And the Medrash gives a list of the 7 tzaddikim who built 7, each one built an altar, altogether 7 mizbachos, and the 7 altars that Bilam once erected. These 7 altars correspond to the 7 altars of the tzaddikim that were built from Adam until Moshe Rabbeinu. For Omar and Bilam said, this is all the Medrash, I'm just reading through the Medrash. For Omar and Bilam said, Loma kibalta es elu. Bilam said, Hashem, why did you accept the sacrifices that were offered on those 7 altars? Loi bishvil avoyde sha'ovdu lefanacha kibaltam. Wasn't it because these were people who served you and offered sacrifices to you, Hashem? So then Bilam continues with his reasoning. He tells Hashem, Loi noa lecha shetehe nevad mishivim umas v'loi me'uma achas. Wouldn't it therefore be more fitting and more beautiful and more worthy of your greatness, Hashem, that you should receive offerings and sacrifice from the 70 nations instead of from this one miserable nation? Wouldn't it be a bigger covet? Wouldn't it be bigger covet Shemayim? Wouldn't it reveal greater glory and splendor of Hashem if you would receive from the 70 nations the offerings? So I am prepared to build 7 altars keneged that correspond to the 7 mizbachos that were built by these tzaddikim. So Yeshiva Ruach HaKodesh, Bilam was told by Hashem, he was told a pasuk that was going to later on be put into Mishlei. And the pasuk says, Toiv pas chareva v'shalve bo, Mibayez mole zivche riv. Loosely translated, it's better to have a dry piece of bread that's eaten with joy and with peace than to have a house that's filled with with zvachim, with fat, good meat, but it's a house that is filled with strife, with unhappiness, with riv, with fights and difficulties and problems. In other words, Hashem is saying, I'd rather have my one little Jewish people, even though they give me that, the Medrash says, Taiva mincha b'lula b'shem and b'chareva, I'd rather have a flower offering for my little people, the Jewish people, a piece of matzah and some flour and some oil. I'd rather have that than what? Mibayis molei zivche riv, than from a house or a world filled with the offerings that come with strife and with fighting, machlekes and hate. Sha'ater Reitzen, the Medrash ends, listen how the Medrash ends. Hashem stands up for Jewish people, for Klai Yisrael. Hashem says, Sha'ater Reitzen lahachnis meriva beinu vein b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says to Bilam, you Russia. I'm adding that on, but I'm sure he said that. Hashem said, you Russia, you're trying to make machlekes between me and my people. You're trying to make some sort of, you're trying to stare. You know, you're trying to cause there to be a difficulty between me and my special people, between B'nai Yisrael. So be quiet with your seven Mizbachas. I'm going to show you what's going to happen to you yet. That's the Medrash. It's an amazing Medrash. Also the Medrash that he was building the seven Mizbachos to outdo, connect, and corresponded to, but his way of saying, look, we also have. From the 70 nations will be bigger covered for you. And Hashem says, don't come here to stare with my people. I'm happy with my Knesset Yisrael, with a little piece of matzah and some flour. Better than the whole world full with all your you know, spare ribs and steaks and whatever offerings you're going to send them. Aleph. We'll come back to that just at the very end. Beis. The Mishnah says in Tainis, there are five things that happened to our ancestors on the 17th day of Tammuz. Five things that happened on the 17th of Tammuz. The Shtabru Haluchais, the tablets were broken, the Luchos were broken on the 17th of Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu came down, the Jewish people were worshipping the golden calf, and the Luchos were broken, the Shtabru Haluchais. Uvutal HaTomid, the daily offerings in the Beis HaMikdash were suspended, were cancelled, were nullified. We no longer were able to bring, even before the temple was destroyed, we were no longer able to bring the daily sacrifices, the Talmud in the morning, in the afternoon. V'huvke ha'ir, the wall of the city was breached, shattered. The Sarf Apostomus, Apostomus is Hatira, and the Russia, our enemy, burnt the Sefer Torah publicly, Behemid Selam Behechal, and he placed an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. And an idol was placed in the Beis HaMikdash. These are the five things that happened in Shavuos V'Tammuz. Valeil Ani Bochia. For these things we're still suffering, we're still crying. So what's the connection between all these things? And why Davka, did they happen on Shavuos HaBetamuz? Space. Everybody talks at this time of the year about Yirmiyahu Navi, but I want to begin with Yishayahu HaNavi. Since you know it's a mitzvah to speak about the cure, to come up with a cure before the illness. So everybody knows that Yirmiyahu comes from the word mar, which is bitter, and he was the prophet of the Churban, although there's much hope in his nevuah. But Yishayahu is the prophet of Yeshua, of salvation, of redemption. All the way towards the end of the Sefer, in Perek Samach Beis, Hashem is telling us that it's not always going to be this way. The way it is now in Galus, it's going to be good. And the most wonderful promise that Hashem makes to us at the end of the Nechamas of Yeshaya Navi is that we're going to get married to him. So an idea, a theme that we've spoken about very often here, that we're going to marry Hashem. And the Navi says, Ki yival b'chur b'sula, as a young man, lives with his new bride, with his wife. Yivoluch bonayach. So our relationship will be with Hashem. There will be a completion. The marriage will be complete. Umisoyz chosna kala. And the chosna Hashem will rejoice with the Jewish people as a chosna rejoices with a kala. Yosis olayach elikoyach. So Hashem will rejoice with us. And then, a famous pasuk, this Baruch Hashem is also a song, that's why many here will start humming along. Al chamrisayach Yerushalayim hefgarti shamim kol hayom v'chol halaylo. Al chamrisayach Yerushalayim, upon your walls, Hashem says, I have placed, I have appointed guards. Kol hayom v'chol halaylo. All the day and all night. Tomid lo yechashu. These guards never rest. They're never silent. They never rest. They're always reminding Hashem. The guards that are, those guards who are watching the walls of Jerusalem are reminding Hashem. Al domilochem. They are never silent. Or we're asking them never to be silent. These guardians of the walls, the Neturei Karta. The guardians of the city of Yerushalayim, the guardians of the walls of Jerusalem, we are asking them to continue reminding Hashem about what we'll talk about, and not to be silent. And not only that, v'al titnu domilo, and don't allow Hashem to be silent. Don't let Hashem rest and be silent. Don't let Hashem be quiet. Ad yechoinein, until He establishes v'ad yosim es Yerushalayim tehila v'aretz, until Hashem will establish and place Yerushalayim as the praise and the glory of the earth. That's nice, no? It's a beautiful psuk. So the Metzilas David says, that just as a chosn goes to consummate the marriage with his kala, so the mitzudas David says ki yival kemoisha bocher noise besula misyashvim yachad mebli pirut. The same way that when they get married, they settle down and live with each other without pirut. What's pirut? Without separation. Until that time, perhaps, they're allowed to see each other. The chassanim and kalas are always getting into fights with their parents. The parents say, you're spending too much time. And the chassanim and kalas say, we're not spending enough time. And then when they see each other, they say to each other, we're spending too much time. Right? It's a ma'isim v'chol yom. But when they're married, it's no longer an issue. When they're married, the misyashim yachad mibli pirud, ken yisyashvu b'cho b'nayich v'la yispardu mimcha. So Hashem will rejoice with his kala, and there will never ever have to be that I'll speak to you on the phone tomorrow and to go each his own way. They don't have to separate. So is chosn al kala. Yosis alayach lekayach. The meaning of this is that there's going to be a nisu and there's going to be a marriage that's going to take place between us and Hashem. It's going to be consummated. It hasn't yet. It's clear from this pasuk, from these pasukim, it hasn't yet happened. It's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It says in the Gemara Pesachim on Pei Zayin is talking about a pasuk in Hosea Hanavi. So Gemara Pesachim says, the pasuk in Hosea is talking about it in the fourth paragraph. Hashem is saying that you're going to call me your husband, I'm going to call you my wife, and so on. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk. The Gemara Pesachim says, Om Rabbi Yochanan kekala bebeis chamer, that in the future we are going to be like a bride in the house of the father-in-law, in the in-law's home, as was the custom, that after the marriage they would live in the house of the in-laws. V'loy kekala bebeis aviha. And the Jewish people will no longer be like a kala in her father's house. There's a big difference between a kala in the father-in-law's house and the kala in the father's house. What's the difference between the two? Aside from the fact that she's probably much happier in her father's house, what's the difference between the two? The difference is clear, that the kala in the father's house is not yet married. As he blacked the kala, she's engaged, but she's not married. That's why she's in daddy's house. She's still with daddy. But the kala of Reves Chamea, at the end of time, Rabbi Yechanan says, we're going to be like a kala in the house of the in-laws, which means that the chasna, it's after the chasna, after the marriage, it was the custom to move in with the in-laws. So, in this world right now, the Jewish people are compared to a kala in waiting. There's been a terrible, terrible postponement of the marriage. Things haven't worked out. And therefore, we're compared to a kala beveis avinu. We're compared to a kala in our father's house. We have to understand more what that means. And in Yetzir Hashem, in the future, we will be like a kala beveis chamer. We will then be like a kala in the house of our father-in-law, which means then there will be a true chasana, a true wedding. The nisun will be completed between us and Hashem. So I think we have to understand what's the cause for the delay. What's wrong with it? What is it that's staring the shidduch? Why is there a problem in the shidduch that it hasn't yet been finalized? Why is it that the wedding hasn't taken place? And obviously it's because of this that we're crying. That's why we have Shivos HaBetamas. This is the very essence of what Shavuos HaBetamuz is. Tisha B'Av is a Bezunder Azach. We'll talk about Tisha. Shavuos HaBetamuz. See, Shavuos HaBetamuz was supposed to be the wedding. That was the day of the wedding. How do we know that? When Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos, with the tablets, if you look in Rashi, Kisisa, the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled, it's a long Rashi. Solucha, Shnei Luchos Avonim, Sheshibarta. So Rashi brings there from Chazal that the Luchos that were broken, the broken tablets, were actually a ksuba, a wedding contract between Hashem and the Jewish people. Now, as a result of the sin of the golden calf, what went wrong on that day, the ksuba that was supposed to finalize the marriage between Hashem and the Jewish people, that ksuba, that wedding contract, was torn. And the breaking of the luchos, as Rashi explains there, the breaking of the luchos equaled the tearing of the ksuba. And because of that, the marriage has been on hold for thousands of years until the prophecy of Yeshayahu will be fulfilled, of Yosis Alayach Elokayach, of Kiyiv Al Bocher Besulam. Until that day, when the relationship will be finalized, the Jewish people have nothing more than a torn ksuba, and that ksuba was torn. The luchos were broken on Shavuos HaBetamuz. When Hashem told the Jewish people through Aaron HaKohen, Chag LaShem Machar, which we spoke about once, Chag LaShem, tomorrow this will be a yontif for Hashem, he wasn't kidding. Because according to the Svar Makedoshim, that chasna, that wedding, has been rescheduled for Shavuos HaBetamuz in the future. Chag LaShem Machar means that what's right now a tragedy, a broken engagement, a torn ksuba, Chag LaShem Machar, that in the future, Machar, by Hashem, you know, that's what the Jewish people have this characteristic maybe of our tomorrow as being beyond tomorrow. And as much as it lets us live, it also causes a great deal of frustration. So Hashem said, Chag LaShem Machar, Aaron said, it'll be a yontiv tomorrow. Tomorrow means way up ahead in the future. This will be a yontiv of the wedding, but right now, there's no cause for celebration. And that's what the Navi is talking about. And that's the deeper meaning of Alcho Mesach Yerushalayim Hifkadeti Shomrim Kol Hayom V'Kol Halayla. Let's understand that Hashem has appointed guards on the walls of Yerushalayim. Who are the Shomrim? Who are these guards? So Gemara Menachos says it's brought down by the Mefarshim here in the Navi. The Gemara says that the guards are Malachim, are angels. The Malachim are guards. And the job of the Malachim, Kiviyachal, the responsibility of these angels, is to remind, whatever that means, to remind Hashem that the wedding hasn't been completed, that the walls of Jerusalem are destroyed, that Yerushalayim has not become sanctified in marriage to the master of the world. Yerushalayim is alone. Until that day of Atos Sokim Terachim Tzion Keis Lechenen Okivam Moed, until that day when Hashem's compassion will finally be awakened and the Chasna will be completed. And the job of the angels, as Rashi brings down, the Mefarshim bring down right here in this in the 62nd chapter of the Novi, which Kedai, if you have a chance, look at Samach Beis and Yishai. Learn it with the Mefarshim. That the job of the Malachim is that they're Melamed Zchus on Yidden. The angels are the guards of the walls of Jerusalem. They say good things about Jews, about Hashem's Kala. They say, I, a Kala, a Luva, a humiliated Kala. Chavsuloch, Agura Sak. Like we say in the Kinas at the end of the Kinas of Tisha B'Av. So these malachim are there to somehow, as they stand by the broken walls of Yerushalayim, they are somehow this guarantee that Hashem is going to finalize the marriage, that the engagement is going to be reactivated, and there's going to be a marriage of chasen at the end of time. So it comes out that is because of the breaking of the Luchos. Understand this, and the reason I want to make this absolutely clear is because this is the source of the Kedusha, of the holiness, of the sad holiness of that day that's called the 17th of Tammuz. It's the day that the Luchos were broken, that the Ksuba between Hashem and the Jewish people was torn. Umimela. And because that marriage was not consummated, because it was not completed, as a result of that, the walls of Yerushalayim were vulnerable, because they were not embraced in Hashem's loving oneness, because the marriage was not complete, and therefore the Kala is still alone and vulnerable and frightened. And because of that, the walls of Yerushalayim were able to be penetrated, were able to be broken, and we have a Shavuos Betamuz. And because of that, Hashem has appointed Shomrim, angels, Malachim, to guard the broken walls, to stand there by the walls of Yerushalayim until the wedding takes place. So now we're prepared to understand something at a deeper level. The Svarim HaKadoshim talk about why is it that it says in the positive Chomosayich, the walls in the plural, and it's not just talking about that there are different walls. Because in other places it's referred to as the wall of Yerushalayim. Why is it called over here, why are they called Chomosayich Yerushalayim, the walls in the plural? Chomosayich Yerushalayim. Al-Chomosayich Yerushalayim Ifkarti Shomrim. So the Svarim say that it's referring to the two Jerusalems, the two Yerushalayims. The Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Yerushalayim, the earthly Jerusalem of this world that we see with our eyes. Everybody knows, everybody's heard. There's a corresponding Yerushalayim Shalmala, the Yerushalayim of above. And La'asa Lava, in the future, Mashiach will come. The Svarim tell us that the Yerushalayim shall mala the higher Jerusalem. The heavenly Yerushalayim will descend and be reunited, will join together with the earthly Jerusalem, with the Yerushalayim shall mata, and the reunion of the two Yerushalayim, Shalmala and Shalmata, means the marriage between Hashem and the Jewish people, means the complete Nisuin, the Chasna. Because right now in Golas, the Matzav that we're in now, the Novi says, the Novi Hosea says, V'lo Avo Ba'ir, listen to the Pasuk, Hashem says, V'lo Avo Ba'ir, I cannot enter into the city. Hashem says, I cannot enter into the city. And Chazal say about that pasuk in Hosea, lo ovo b'ir, that Hashem says, I can't yet enter into the city. Chazal say, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo ovo b'Yushalayim shamala, ad sho'ovo Yushalayim shamata, that Hashem swore that He will not enter into the Yushalayim above in that place, until that day when the Yushalayim shamala will be together with the Yushalayim shamata. So the Jewish people are a kala that's lonely and in Golas, and the engagement has been called off, and the wedding is not scheduled. And Yerushalayim shel mata, the lower Jerusalem is in ruins and in loneliness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sworn, lo avo b'yir, I will not enter into my Yerushalayim above until that day when Yerushalayim above will descend and join with Yerushalayim shel mata, the Yerushalayim of this world. Because on that day, it will be soon, because on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go into the Yerushalayim Shamala with his Kala. And he will not move into his house unless it's with his Kala. And he has the most beautiful, the most spectacular place, Hashem, called Yerushalayim Shamala. And all the Malachim, all the Tzaddikim are saying, Baruch Shalom, you have a beautiful place, why are you staying over there? Why are you living in that apartment by yourself, whatever that means? And they're saying, come, you have Yerushalayim Shamala, it's beautiful. And Hashem says, lo yavo b'ir. I will not go into Yerushalayim Shamala until I can go there with my Kala in a healthy, happy, good marriage with Knesset Israel. So until that time, Chazal said that Yerushalayim Shamala will descend to Yerushalayim Shamata. And Hashem can walk with his Kala, can carry his Kala, Knesset Israel, over the threshold. It's a great thing, but it sounds nice. Can carry the Kala, Klai Israel, into Yerushalayim Shamata, with Yerushalayim Shamala, until that day of Al-Chol Masayich Yerushalayim, Ifkarti Yerushalayim. Therefore, it says in the Pasuk, on your walls, Yerushalayim, I have appointed guardians to stand there and to wait and to watch and to pray. On the walls of Jerusalem above and the wall of Jerusalem below. Because lo yavo b'yir, I will not enter into Jerusalem above until that day when I can bring my Kala, who lives down there below in Yerushalayim, into the Yerushalayim Shamala, when the Yerushalayim Shamala will descend to the Yerushalayim Shamata. And these shomrim, these malachim are davening continuously. Ata sokum terachim Zion. Hashem, rise up and have compassion upon Zion. Ki es lechenano v'amoy, the time has come to return. So now we can come back to the statement of Chazal from the Gemara Pesachim. Rav Yochanan says that before Mashiach comes in this world, until the chasna is completed, the Jewish people are compared to a kala beves, or viha to a kala in the father's house. But only at the end will we be a kala in the home of the father-in-law, which is a wedding, a marriage, after the marriage. This is a chasam sofer. Listen to this chasam sofer. Chasam sofer is in Bamid, 14th page in the Torah's Moshe. Listen to this Chasam Sofer. Sof kol sof, if the marriage couldn't take place, it's good to have a father's house to go back to, no? It could be worse. There are people never that don't have a father, that don't have parents. God forbid the parents don't want them back. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the Jewish people are like a kala beveis avia and not like a kala beveis chamer. That we're a kala in the father's house, not by the father-in-law. There is something comforting about being in your father's house, no? I mean, it could be worse. the Chassam Sefer using a number of Chazals that I don't want to bog it down with the different Chazals and Psukim. But that Chassam Sefer over there makes the following point. He says the difference between a Kala Beveis Chomer and a Kala Beveis Raviya, according to Chazal, is the difference between the Jewish people being in a shul and the Jewish people being in a Beis Medrash, in a yeshiva, in a study house. Let me explain. What I'm saying now is the Chassam Sefer. There is no greater place in the world than a shul, Beis HaKnesses, which is a place that is devoted to tefillah. Now, you know, in the Talmud Chazal, they had separate places for davening, separate places for learning. There is no place in the world that has the one singular purpose of establishing a relationship between a father and a child as an shul. Because the whole relationship of a child with a parent is a relationship of need and being dependent and hoping and waiting and relying upon. I mean, that's the relationship between a father, between a parent and a child. So Chassam Sofer says that a Beis HaKnesses, because I'll say, Chassam Sofer explains, that a Beis HaKnesses, when Rabbi Yochanan says that right now the Jewish people live in a Beis HaKnesses with Hashem, means that right now, in this world, we are able to live in that world of tefillah, where we feel not equal to Hashem in any way, but we feel like helpless children who are vulnerable and constantly need to turn to our Father, and that's what a shul is all about. But when the end of time will come, Chassam Sofer says, a Beis HaMedrash is different. A Beis HaMedrash is a place of Torah learning. A place of Torah learning is different. See, by Torah learning, it says in the Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Mirosha Kehilas Yaakov, that the Torah was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a Mirosha, it's the heritage, the inheritance of the Jewish people. And everybody knows Chazal say, Atirki Mirosha Ela Mirosha. We are married, through the Torah, we are married to Hashem. Through davening, the Chassam Sofer says we are Hashem's children, a child that begs and asks and needs. That's a child and a parent begging and asking. A child. In a marriage, if you're involved in a marriage where for everything the kala needs, she has to beg and to plead and to ask, you're in big trouble. Your husband should just give you all the charge cards, all the credit cards, without you having to beg and to plead. If you have to beg and plead, it's a bitsin. Begging and pleading is the identifying characteristic of a child and a parent. And it works with the parent and the child too, as every child knows. But that there should be a feeling that we are mamish, like, compatible. Not that I'm a little child that's helplessly asking you for guidance and for panos and for a couple of pennies, you know, for an allowance. But they were mamish. I could talk to you like a wife and a husband and a wife. So Chassam Sofer says that comes to the study of Torah. That is the essence of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah. Torah, the Zohar says, Kutshebrichu Yisrael v'arayis achad. Hashem, the Torah and the Jewish people are one. And the deeper meaning of that, not the deepest, but the deeper meaning of that is that the way of oneness that we become kiviyochel, Hashem's, I don't want to say that the word equal is, of course, not fair, but Chazal used that word. We've spoken about this before, the idea of being Hashem's twin. You remember we spoke about it a couple of months ago. The ability for a Jewish person to reach such a level of dveikus, of attachment to Hashem, that ability comes through the study of Torah. Yisrael kutshebrichu v'arayis achad. Not in God's essence, of course. I'm not talking about God's essence. But Hashem made the world in such a way where in order for the Jewish people to become a kala mamish, where we could Look at him in the eyes, Einayich Yonim, with the loving eyes of a kala, and not with the dependent eyes, the needy eyes of a child. That's a gewaltige thing too. But it's through Torah that we establish this Yisrael Kutshebichu V'Raisachat. The same way that we saw in the Mitzudas, the same way that when there's a marriage, only when there's a marriage do the Chosn and Kala move in with each other and they live together permanently. Tefillah, davening, is seen as something which is, it has its times, it has its moments, it has its ups and downs. But La'asad Lavo, the promise that's of the future, and that tool through which the Jewish people can live with Hashem, can move in with Him, that we become a Kala B'Veis Chameah, that we become the bride in the father-in-law's house, which means a marriage, that we can fulfill what it says about Adam and Chava, V'hoyu L'Basar Echad, that we shall be with Hashem with one flesh, L'Avdol, God forbid, I don't mean something physical, but to be one with Hashem, that's only through the study of Torah. The more you understand these statements that you find in the Gemara, and you find the Chazal, Kol Isaac B'Torah B'Layla, Shechina K'Negdai. So the Gemara, Chazal, make a big deal about a person who learns Torah late at night, and when you learn late at night, the Shechina is K'Negdai, the Shechina is there with you. And in the writings of that are more concealed, that were meant to be concealed, they weren't concealed enough because I saw them. So in the writings that were meant to be concealed, the impression that one gets of a person learning Torah at night, the Shechina is with you, is like a Chosn and Kala. More than that I can't say. But that's the impression, that's what Chazal are talking about, Shechina K'negdai. In such a way, in the most intimate way, when the whole world is has shut off and everything is quiet, and that tzaddik, that Jew, it doesn't have to be a tzaddik, that Jew, whoever it is sitting there with a sefer learning, is Shechina K'negdai, in the most intimate, the most private, and even the most romantic way. So, Gaval, when you come to Shavuos B'Tammuz, you understand that Shavuos B'Tammuz was supposed to be the wedding. What a terrible thing, what a terrible day. Hashem was going to bring us into His house in Yushalayim Shamala, that was going to come down to Yushalayim Shamat, and He was going to bring us in. And the walls of Jerusalem were going to be fixed, and everything was going to be finalized. And that dveikus that never happened, that marriage that never took place, was the result of that one fact. Now understand this clearly, that we never received the first luchos, we never actually received the first edition of Torah. It never came to our hands. Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to deliver the Torah to us because of what happened. It was thrown to the ground and broken, as we all know. We never were attached to the Torah. We never got it. That's the ksuba. The ksuba is the Torah. The attachment comes through Torah. The oneness, the Boser Echad, the Kutshebich Yisrael, the Reis Echad, comes through the Luchas, through Torah, and we didn't receive the Torah. The Ksub is the Torah, and it was torn before our eyes, and it was shattered at the bottom of the mountain. And that broke the potential ones. The second Luchas Anais, Baruch Hashem, we got a second set. Not, God forbid, We appreciate that. But as the Sfarim say, the second Luchas are very different. The first Luchas, Chazal say that if we would have received the first tablets, if Shavuos B'Tammuz wouldn't have become the day that it became, Shavuos B'Tammuz would have been the wedding, then we would have received Torah, if we would have gotten those Luchas, if they would have been handed down to us, and we would have touched them, and they would have gone from Yad Hashem to Yad Moshe to Yad Yisrael, if they would have reached our hands, the Luchos, Chazal say, no Jew would ever forget anything in learning Torah. You wouldn't forget. But now you learn, you forget. You don't feel like learning. All of that, all of the struggles that we have to regain Torah knowledge, all the struggles that we have to try to awaken within us interest in Torah, an attachment to some sort of devotion to Torah, all that is the second Luchos way of life. In the first luchos, there wouldn't have been forgetfulness. There can't be forgetfulness. There is no forgetfulness when it comes to the chasna, when it comes to the wedding. If there would have been a wedding. So because the luchos didn't reach our hands, the wedding didn't take place, the ksuba was torn, all of the events of Shavuos Betammuz that are listed there in the Mishnah can be understood only when you realize that the day of Shavuos Betammuz is a day of a wedding that was postponed, of an engagement that was broken, of a ksuba that was torn. Now we can understand all the other things in the Mishnah, but I'll say this very quickly. The burning of the Torah. I don't think it's necessary to even explain this, the burning of the Torah. What that means, whenever the Torah is burned, God forbid. That there's power in the world. That there exists some power in the world that can take away from the Jewish people the Torah. We've heard so many stories from the earliest times in the Crusades and all the pogroms and the Holocaust about Sefer Torah being burned. Maybe we became, God forbid, a little bit used to it. You know, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, the famous Gemara of Hanani ben Tradion, who was killed. Somebody remembers that he was burned alive in the Sefer Torah. And you remember that when he was being burnt and the parchment was being burnt, he was asked what he saw. And he saw that the parchment was burnt, but the letters were flying, were returning to Hashem. Gvilin Nisrah from the Isis Parachais Ba'avi. The parchment itself, which means the physical body of Torah, was being burnt. And the Isis Parachais Ba'avi, Rabbi Chanan ben Tzadion, saw the letters of the Torah, the soul of the Torah, flying off into the sky. Isis Parachais Ba'avi. You should know every time a Torah has been burnt in history, that's the same thing. It's the same thing. And I'm going to tell you something else. This is not so nice. Because our enemies burn Torahs. We don't burn our Torahs, God forbid. We honor them. But every Sefer Torah consists of two parts. There's more, but two basic parts. I'm not discussing the white in between. Two basic parts, the parchment and the letters. The parchment is the body and the letters are the soul. And do you know how much we're suffering from a separation between the body and the soul of Torah? Do you know how it's possible for us to go into the shul and to read a Sefer Torah and to have them in our Aron Kodesh? Haven't you ever been in the shul where you have in an Aron Kodesh 10 Sefer Torah and during the davening people are talking and making chayzik of davening, making chayzik of the master of the world by talking in shul? Do you know that Chazal say that if you talk in shul you have no portion in the God of Israel? Is there anyone here amongst us who hasn't at some point either been tempted to or spoken in shul, God forbid? So you have a Sefer Torah sitting in the Aron. Sometimes you can have a Sefer Torah. I've been in shuls where there's a Sefer Torah that's on the bima, open on the bima, and the gaba, the rabbi, the balkoira, they're standing there shushking the people, the oilam, they should be quiet so we can read from the Torah Hashem. That's not burning a Sefer Torah? That's not separating between the letters, the soul and the body? Of course it is. To receive the body of Torah, but to burn the Torah in such a way where the letters run away, we go through that all the time. And you know why it happens to us? Because we never were married to Hashem, we were never married to the Torah. Because on the 70th of Tammuz, the luchos never reached our hands. Because of that, people can still look at the Sefer Torah sitting on the beam and say, nah, what's that? I have a shaykhus to that. Well, I don't have a shaykhus to it. It's not mine. We're not married. We went out once. You know how boys treat girls they went out with once. We went out, I remember we went out. It was not for me, it wasn't for me. That's what happened, Lamaisa, it didn't work out. That caused a commotion, I think. It didn't work out, Lamaisa. So, the burning of the Torah is not just that there's some Russia, a guy that's burning Sefer Torah someplace in the world that happened, and you read a story about the Holocaust, about some pogrom, and the guy took the Sefer Torah and burnt it. We have to worry more about the Sefer Torah that we're burning ourselves, the letters that are running away from us. And this separation between the essence, the heart, and the soul of Torah, and the body of Torah, is the result of a wedding that never took place. Where there wasn't the yichud, there wasn't that oneness, and that marriage, and that complete and utter unification that was supposed to be. The first luchos were engraved through and through with the Dvar Hashem. The first luchos, you couldn't have letters flying off the first luchos, you understand? Even though the Rabbaz talks to myself, he didn't. The whole question about what was the writing on the luchos, the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Rabbaz that talks about in his tshuvas, what happened to the letters of the first luchos, did they reappear on the second luchos? But the first luchos were engraved through and through with the Dvar Hashem. That's how a Jew has to be. You can't burn away letters that are engraved through and through. You can only burn letters that are scratched on the surface, that are written on the surface, but if it's minakotze lakotze, if it goes through, then it can't be burned. That was the first luchos. The second luchos, not the same. The wall of Yerushalayim was destroyed. The wall of Yerushalayim was penetrated, was broken into. What's that to explain? It's poshut what that means. In the context of our discussion, it's poshut what that means. Hufka Ha'ir says in the Pasuk, Shashirim, Ani Chayma, I am a wall. That's how a Jew has to live. Chiddush Arim said, the Gei Rebbe Chusi Yelanim said, Ani Chayma, every Jew has to say over and over, Ani Chayma. You know what it means, Ani Chayma? That means that you have to look at an Avera, at a sin, like it's on the other side of an impenetrable wall. You see, because the wedding didn't take place with Hashem, because we never got the luchos, and we feel that there's a separation, we just went that, we're not quite sure, it didn't work out, because of that, there's the possibility of unfaithfulness, of looking for other kalas, of looking for the chasanim. That's possible. Chiddushim said that when it comes to an avera, someone tells you, someone comes over and says to you, listen, if I had this avera, maybe you'd be interested in coming along with me to do this avera. So I often say in class, and I've said it here before, that if someone would come along to you with that offer, during the time that you're saying Hashem Hu Elokim at the end of Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur, you look at him like he's crazy. Because during Yom Kippur, you constructed a wall between yourself and sinfulness. Unfortunately, it rarely lasts, more than a couple of hours afterwards or a couple of days, depending on how strong you are. But that wall that you have constructed in Yom Kippur tells you, I should do an Aveirach. It's my chasm. I'm faithful. I'm waiting. I'm a lady in waiting. I don't do that. Ani Chayma. The breaking of the wall of Jerusalem on Shavuos HaBetamos. That means Hefkeris. That means that there are possibilities of unfaithfulness. It means that there is no wall that separates between you and doing something wrong. When someone comes to you with a suggestion of an Aveira, you have to think about it. You struggle with it. The Yetzahara, Yetzahar Toiv, you have to take out all these, Yetzahar Tov and Yetzahar manuals, what to do. What am I going to do? And you have to put on songs and tapes, the Eitz Sahara. It's talking true. Because there's no wall. When there's a chayma, ani chayma, when there's a wall between you and an aveir, what's a shayla? Someone comes over to you and tells you, why don't you come to church on Sunday? It's a chayma, it's a wall. You don't think about it. You don't say, I'm lonely, I have to think about it. I want to. Ani chayma. But when it comes to other aveiras, it's not a chayma. It's not even sometimes like one of those, like a picket fence or one of those wire mesh fences, but you got a million holes in it. You say, I need chayma, but then, well, we could try this, and but they have it if you did that. You still have a chelk and a lamhab if you do this. There's no chayma, there's no wall. The wall has been poked through. The wall has been penetrated. It's been cracked. That's the result of the 17th of Thomas, because we never got the luchos. It didn't come to us. It wasn't a yichud. It wasn't a marriage. I mean, meila, there's a havamin of something else. And that's, by the way, the same thing as the tzelem that was put into the heichal. How was it that a statue of a Zohar was put into the Beis HaMikdash? Can you think of such a more disgusting thing that a statue was put into the Beis HaMikdash? Could there be anything more horrible and disgusting in the world than a statue being put into the Beis HaMikdash? How could that be? So I explained this a little bit last year, or 2 years ago, I don't remember. The Nefesh HaChaim, the beginning of the Nefesh HaChaim, we're told that the mind of a Jew is holier than the Holy of Holies, The mind of a Jew is mamish the Holy of Holies. What we have here on earth, the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh Kadoshim, is a reflection of the mind of the Jewish people. Therefore, Nefesh Chaim says that when a Jewish person has an inappropriate thought, he's destroying more than Titus Nebuchadnezzar did with the Beit HaMikdash. Atzelem Behechel. Let's explain it. You see, when you read these things, you hear the Mishnah says that Atzelem and Avodah Zarah was put in a Hechel, so some event in, you know, way, way back in history that somebody put an idol into the Beit HaMikdash, he's probably burning and rotting somewhere, this guy. I don't do stuff like that. Atzelem Behechel means, for us, a statue in the place of where there's supposed to be holiness. That means that a Jewish person has doubts about Hashem. That means when a Jewish person says, how could Hashem do this to me? Why is my life so miserable? It's when a Jewish person is not sure about keeping mitzvahs. It's when a Jewish person is thinking thoughts that are not appropriate and looks at the wrong things and has improper thoughts. Because the Jewish mind is the Holy of Holies, and by the holiness of your thoughts being interrupted and obstructed with impurity, what's happening is that's like putting a tzelem into the Heichel, it's like putting an idol mamish into the Heichel, it's like putting a tzelem into the Beis HaMikdash. And it's because of Shavasa Batamas that the Luchos were broken, that they never quite got all the way into the brains and into the Kishkas. And because of that, it's possible to think maybe it's not true. I had a Giyarist called me last night, and she was telling me that she thinks that she's wasted the last 6 years of her life, that she's been Jewish, and it was much better before when she was in a church. So they were nicer to her, and she was happier. Speak of Rachmanis. Tzelem in the Heichel. Not that I blame her. She's suffering now. But Tzelem in the Heichel. A statue in the Beis HaMikdash. Because we never entered into our father-in-law's house, because we never established that complete connection to Torah, because on Shavuos HaBetamas it didn't get to us, Mimela there's no Yisrael Kutshabichu V'araisa that are chad in the fullest sense of the word, and because we're not yet living in the house of the Chosn, we are prone to unfaithfulness. Unfaithful thoughts, unfaithful feelings, and chalila, unfaithful actions. So, of course, the Jewish people are tired of waiting for this wedding, you know. Lama Schusan Jews, the Malachim are standing by the walls of Jerusalem, of Yerushalayim, and they're being Lama Schusan Yidden, that they're growing tired of waiting. How long can Kala wait? Every day they're calling from the printer, from the flowers, for Klai Yisrael to return to Hashem, for the Chosn and Kala to have their wedding. That was originally scheduled for Shavuos HaBetamos. Now we understand that when the Greeks came, Yivon and Nikbetsu Alai, Zav Yimecha Shemon Mufaritzu, Chaymis Migdolai, they made 13, the Mishnah says in Midos, the second chapter of Midos, the Mishnah says, that the Greeks made 13 holes in different places of the Beis HaMikdash through the walls. And Chazal established, after the defeat of Greece, 13 hishtachavoyas, that each time we would come to that place where the Greeks had made a hole, when any Jew would pass that place, it's a din. Chazal were massacred that you had to bow down to thank Hashem for fixing the wall that was breached by the Greeks, that was broken. 13 hishtachavoyas that correspond to the 13 broken places in the walls of Jerusalem. That's what it means, Uparitzu Chomos Migdolai. Everybody understands that the very nature of the exile of Yovan of Greece was the exile of the Jewish people in secular knowledge. This is a subject that is so difficult I can't even, not allowed to discuss it in public, and it's such a dangerous, touchy thing, especially if there are parents here, gefährlich. You can't talk about it. Because if a Jew gets up in Tavshin, Nun Vav, and suggests that maybe we're a little bit unfaithful to Hashem's Torah because of all the other pursuits, not that a person shouldn't have a job, but all the time and energy that's spent taking a Jewish mind and throwing it to secular things, If you talk about it, you're completely out of business. You can't talk about it. You're not even allowed to say it. But anybody who's honest with himself knows that that's exactly what the Golus of Yavin is all about. That was the Malchus of Greece. To make holes in the wall. You want to be a Jew, it's fine. You could wear a yarmulke on campus also. You could have black kosher restaurants where the boys and girls can hang out all day on campus also. Because it's better that they should hang out there than they should hang out someplace else. That's true, but why do they have to have this all together? Why can't we all be in yeshivas? I agree. The Maya say, I agree, what are you supposed to do? But if anybody walks into Shavasa B'Talmas and Tisha B'Av thinking that this is the way God expected the Jewish people to live, they're wrong. This is not how we're supposed to live. And this is not what's going to be when Mashiach comes. I'm sorry. Not NYU, not Queens, not Hofstra, not even Harvard, Princeton, or Yale. It's Shav Sheker, it's a lie, it's a distortion of the destiny of Am Yisrael. This was not meant to be. And don't come ask me questions from Rambams in the Vilna Gaon. He knew math, so I'm going to study math in NYU. The Vilna Gaon didn't stand in Washington Square. And the Vilna Gaon didn't take courses sing with girls that are half-dressed. This Shav Sheker, this whole lie, this distortion, if you talk about it, which I'm doing right now, and therefore I'm getting into trouble, this whole distortion is a distortion that comes from the Malchus of Greece that made 13 holes in the walls of Yerushalayim. Listen, because we never got the Torah in Shavuot B'Talmud. If we would have gotten the Torah in Shavuot B'Talmud, we would have gone right in there and into here, and there would be, what, a hechet timtze? I should leave yeshiva? I should go away from studying Torah? I should go into a place of impurity? It's too painful to even talk about. You're not allowed to talk about it. If you talk about it, you're a fanatic, you're crazy. You have to be excommunicated. This is what Hashem expected from Klal Yisrael. This is what Rav Shamsher Vol Hirsch had in mind also, I suppose, according to those people who say this lie in the name of Rav Shamsher Vol Hirsch, in the name of that great tzaddik. He had in mind Queens College and NYU. Rav Shamsher Vol Hirsch. Who never looked at an improper thing his whole life. He had in mind to go within the Velus and the Trafus. I bet you he didn't. He didn't. And neither did Vilna Gaon, and neither did Moshe Rabbeinu. But you're not allowed to say. This is what happened with Bilam. Now let's understand, let's finish. Excuse my madness, it was just a moment. Let's get back to our regularly scheduled program. Now, when I went to college and graduate school, that's already 20 years ago, you understand? More, I don't know, something like that. It's a long time ago. What it is now, I guess you could tell me more about it. So Bilam wants to build 7 altars. Disgusting. Bilam says to Hashem, look, why is it that you have this one little people? I could arrange for there to be 7 altars, 70 nations that correspond to 7 altars for the 70 nations of the world, and the whole world will bring you. You understand what Bilam is doing? You understand what Bilam is trying to do? If there's an engagement that hasn't been finalized, there's an engagement that hasn't worked out, and you know who Bilam is? You hear what Bilam is? Bilam is the one who comes on the side and says, I think we could be very happy together. Knowing that there's a kala that's waiting. Knowing that there's a promise that was made. Knowing that there are walls that were broken and ksuba that was torn and that Hashem is miserable in His loneliness for us and we are in our loneliness for Him. And Bilam comes along and says at a terrible time of Golus, so Bilam can come along at all times in Golus and say to Hashem, maybe you and I could try it out. What? Let's look at them. And Hashem says to Bilam, You're trying to make him a Reva. I'd rather have flour and water and a piece of matzah with my collar and wait, and I'll wait all the years, and I'll be faithful to the Jewish people, than to have you with all your zivchei riv, with your behemoths and your chayis. I'll wait for the Jewish people, their little piece of matzah and their flour and their water and their oil, a pascha. And Hashem ends up the message by saying, you're trying to stare my relationship with the Jewish people. You're in trouble. You're trying to come between me and the Jewish people. You're trying to build mizbachas. You could also build a mizbeach. The Jewish people make a mizbeach. You can make nicer ones, bigger ones, more beautiful ones. You'll treat me better. You're going to wine and dine, Hashem. You're going to take me out because the Jewish people are there. But you're going to show me a good time. Hashem says, I'd rather have a broken piece of matzah with my collar. So it's hard to be patient. Hashem gives such a scream. So what are we supposed to do? So you see that when the holes were made in the wall, but in the walls by the Greeks, Chazal established 13 hishtachavayas to fix them. It wasn't a question of patching up a wall. You could put some plaster, you could put a stone, but the point is that Chazal enacted 13 hishtachavayas to bow down 13 times. 13 times each time we came to that place, and if it were possible for me to write an inscription upon each of those places, I would write on each of those places that was fixed, and each place where the Chacham told us to bow down to remember, I would write two words. Ani Chayma. I am a wall. That's what I would write. Ani Chayma. Ani Chayma. I am a wall, meaning that I am never ever going to be unfaithful to the Master of the Universe. He's sworn faithfulness to me, and he's appointed guards by the walls of Yerushalayim, Shalmal, and Shalmata. Ani Chayma, I will make myself like a wall. And therefore, if you look in Parshas Balak, when Hashem is placing blessings into the mouth that wanted to curse, so look at the pasuk that comes out. Am levadad yishkayin abagayim lo yizchashav. The Jewish people are a nation that dwells alone. The same Rosh that wanted to come and to stare and to make it so that the Jewish people no longer kala. So Bilam comes out saying, Am levadad yishkayin. They're a nation that dwells alone. Abagayim lo yizchashav. There are no walls in the chayim of the Jewish people. The strength in the wall of Yerushalayim. And the Chassam Sofer has revealed to us that the greatest, most powerful way to strengthen the wall of Yerushalayim is with the study of Torah. Because the wall of Yerushalayim is Torah. Because that's the house of our father-in-law, Kivyochel. That's when you're married. We didn't receive the Luchas completely. Therefore, there's this possibility of burnt Torahs and letters flying. And there's this separation. So Ani Chayma means to connect the Torah as much as you can, to grab what you can, to learn it as deeply as possible. That builds the wall of Yerushalayim. And Chazal Taka say there in Shir Shim, Ani Chayma Zu Torah. Chazal say beferish that Ani Chayma, I am a wall, that a Jewish person has to make himself into a wall, to build a wall. And how do you do that? By studying more and more Torah. By being attached to Torah, that's how you build a wall. I want to read to you from the Radak, what he says over there in Yeshayahu, the Radak, on Al Chamasayich, Yerushalayim, if Gadati Yeshayim, then I'll tell you a story, an old story, very old story. Listen to the words of the Radak. He's speaking about the guards of the walls, the Shomer HaChomer. Listen to the words. Ki Hashomrim Heim Evelet Zion. The Radak says he first mentions, of course, Chazal, that it's angels. But then the Radak offers another interpretation. The Radak says that the Shomrim, the guardians of the walls, are the Evelet Zion. The Jews who are still mourning over the destruction. They are the Shomer. The guardians of the walls are the ones who are mourning over Yerushalayim. Ki Hashomrim Heim Evelet Zion, Shemispalim B'yoyim V'layla Al Yerushalayim, who daven day and night for Yerushalayim. V'gam Yesh Lefarish Al Kol Yisrael B'galusam, the Radak says, This can refer to all Jewish people in Golas. Shem Shomrim, that are longing and waiting. The word Lishmor means to watch and to wait. Hush, like Va'aviv Shomras Hadavar. Shem Shomrim V'tsoifim Tomid Bin Yerushalayim, who are always continuously longing and waiting for the marriage, for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Umaskirim Boinei Yerushalayim, and we say the bracha of Boinei Yerushalayim B'yom V'laylo B'tfilaseim. No one can silence us. Al Domi Lohem. Al Domi Lohem. Lo Yelohem Domi Yushasika. Radak says the Jewish people should never ever be silent. We should never stop davening and hoping and waiting for Yerushalayim to be rebuilt for the Chasana. V'spalu Lefon of Tomid. Daven to Hashem always. V'shivchu Lefon of Levavchem, and pour your hearts out to Him. Ad Yechonin Yerushalayim B'chayim Yisehu V'vinyona, until Hashem will reestablish the walls of Yerushalayim and rebuild the city. V'yasima Tehila B'aretz, until that day when Yerushalayim will be the praise and the glory of all of earth. And you know how that parak in Navi opens? You know what Pasuk Aleph says? Listen to what Pasuk Aleph says, because that's already a little bit later, Pasuk Vav. We were starting from Pasuk Hey, Vav Zayin. What does Pasuk Aleph say in Perek Samach Beis? Try to learn Samach Beis in Yishai. What does it say over there in the first Pasuk? L'man Tzion lo yachshe. Hashem says, for the sake of Yerushalayim, for the sake of Tzion, I will not rest. I will not be silent. Lo yachshe, I will not rest. L'man Yerushalayim lo eshkot. And for the sake of Yerushalayim, I will not be silent. So it sounds like if we're silent, God forbid that Hashem will be silent. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, which we talk about every year, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Siddur and Tisha B'Av, that by his understanding, the one sin that has brought about this terrible length of Golas and all the suffering and misery of Golas was that we've forgotten the Avelus of Yerushalayim, we've forgotten to cry and to beg for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, for the coming of Mashiach, and for the end of Golas. We've stopped crying over Yerushalayim. Sof kol sof. They have beautiful parties this year. You have all the orchestras and the philharmonics are playing for 3,000 years. Some smart guy hopped on with this public relations thing. 3,000 years. So we're celebrating in the walls of Yerushalayim, orchestras and shows. Well, and if by you that means that Yerushalayim is healthy and well, then you're not, you don't know what Shiva Subatamas means, and you can't be included among those who are called the Veilei Tzion. Among those who are guarding the walls. Those who are guarding the walls with all the beautiful things that you see in Yerushalayim right now, those who are the guardians of the walls see that the walls are broken. They only look like they're built. Those who are the guardians of the walls of Yerushalayim see that this is not the Ratzon Hashem. This is not the end. This wasn't the whole thing. It's not finished. Because now in Yerushalayim you can get Pampers or Huggies. You don't have to suffer anymore. That's not the end. It's not the tachlis. So I'll read to you a story. Maybe I read to you once before. It's late. I'm going to read to you a little part of it because the story is very, very old. It's found. It's brought down in the Aruch. It's brought down in Tosfos. This is not. There's a story that's brought down in Tosfos. First parak of Tanis. It's in the Oruch. Omer Rabbi Chanina, Bo yirei kama gedoilim ba'alei amona. Rabbi Chanina says, look how amazing. Look how great. Our people of faithfulness. People who are faithful. Who are trustworthy. And the Oruch brings a story. Very unusual. Tosfos and Aruch for the Rishonim to explain something with the story, it's very unusual. Ma'isi Benara, some of you know this story. Ma'isi Benara, Shahaisa Hilechis, the base of Viha. That itself is amazing. It's the story of a young woman who was on the way to her father's house. I'm not going to. I'll leave a little bit of interpretation up to you. I'm just going to tell you the story and maybe a drop at the end, but everything that I've been speaking about till now fits into the Ma'isi. There was a girl that was going, a young woman was going, Lebesavia, Vahaisim, Kushatis, Vilkekas, Vizov, and she was dressed up with beautiful jewelry and so on. Gami Fastori, she was a beautiful woman. And she got fablonge, and she got lost, and she was very thirsty. She chanced upon a certain well, and she couldn't get the well. She couldn't get the to bring the water up, so she had to climb down. She was thirsting. She was dying of thirst. So she went and she climbed down there into the well to have some water, and she got stuck. She couldn't get out of the well. So she started. She heard somebody. There was a guy passing by. She was screaming and crying. So there was a man passing by. He heard some screaming coming from the bottom of the well. And he took a look inside. He couldn't see anything. Who are you? Are you a human being or are you from the Mizikim? Meaning, are you some sort of a demon or a shade? Nowadays, it's probably just like a bas mitzvah or something. They have a bas mitzvah down. And they're trying to everybody outdoes each other with different kinds of celibate. But then, there's a question, is this a human being? Is this a shade? So she says, no, I'm a human being. Mivnei Odomani. It's another question. Shemana Ruchas, maybe you're love. Omullah Hishavili, swear to me, Shemnei Odomani. Swear to me that you're a human being. Nishbalai, Omullah. So he's having a whole conversation. The poor girl is down there. So he asks her, what's your story? What are you doing down there? So says, she tells him the whole ma'isi. I tell you what, this guy must have been pretty desperate. If I pull you up, if I save you, if I rescue you, will you marry me? Why? You have now over the internet? I hear people getting married over the internet, no? She says, hey, okay. Well, what's she supposed to say? Hello, Kevin Shahela Bikishli Zaki Lamiyad. The guy rescued her, but he didn't want to wait till a chasna. He wanted to do an improper act right there and then. So she says to him, Ma'ez Amata, what people are you from? And she knew that he's a Jew. She also said, in other words, aren't you a Jew? I'm a Jew and I've come from this place and I'm a Kohen. So I'm also a Jew and I also come from a certain place and a well-known family. Not only are you a Jew, but you're the holiest among the Jewish people. You're a Kohen. And you want to do an act of a behemoth without a ksuba. And without kiddush, and without a marriage. I will keep my promise, but let's do it in a nice way. This is where I live, come to my town, and we'll get engaged with my parents' consent. They made a covenant, a bris. So the question was, what about Edom? This is a very deep thing now. It's too late to talk about each one of these Edom. There was a chulda running over there. It's a chulda. They translated chulda. A weasel. An impure animal was running over that chulda. So there's a chulda. So she said to him, Hashemayim the chulda zu bear ze you Edom. Let Shemayim the heavens. And let this well and this chulda, this animal, be Edom, be witnesses. That we're not going to be unfaithful, we're not going to cheat on each other. This is an amazing thing. I leave it up to you to understand. Each one on his own. So he went. He went away. She remained faithful. And she was a beautiful woman from a very, very wonderful family. And all these people were coming to seek her hand in marriage. And she refused. So she saw that they're not stopping. You know, the parents, they keep on, these guys are coming all the time to go out with her to get married. So she saw no choice. But she made herself into a mishugana. She made herself, she faked. She acted like a lunatic. Like a nut. benichva, and she umakaraz begadah, and she tore her clothing, and she went like a crazy person. Ubigde kol mi shohayin negev, and she would tear the clothing of anybody who tried to touch her. Ad she nimnu bnei odom imena. So the guys eventually got the message. She remained, she was watching and waiting in her house for that man to whom she promised herself. Who but the man Kevin Shaver Mikaneged Panera talk for Yitzroy. He had a big Yitzroy when he pulled up from the well, but then once she went her way and he went to his place, so you know how it is. So he went on with life, and he forgot about the whole thing. All right. He was working. He went and he married somebody else and had a son. When the baby was 3 months old, the baby was attacked by a chulda, by a weasel, and was killed. His wife had another baby, the older Zohar, another son, the Nafula, born the child, when he was a little bit older, fell into a well and died. Omla Yishtai, so the man's wife said, Im keder kaladim hayumaisim, banecha hayisi ameris tidigadin. If our children, if your sons would be dying in the way of the world, I would accept the judgment. Akshu shemaisu misim ashuna ein zebulay dover, elasaperli maasecha. It must be something that's going on. In other words, sweetheart, tell me a little bit about your background. So he told her, he saw her, it's a chulda, the child is killed by a chulda, the child's killed by a bear, and Gevalt Shemaim is waiting. So he tells her the maisa, and it's garshim imenu. So she says, I want a divorce from you. Amrla, she said, go to the one who Hashem has prepared for you, who has put aside for you. Holach v'shal be'ira. He went to seek her. He went to that town. Omla, they told him, Nichvasahi, she's crazy. Call me Shatoiva, Kafakach. Anybody that comes there, she's crazy. She's nuts. Holach etzel avir. He goes to the girl's father, and Sipala Kalamaisa tells him the whole Maisa Omla, and he makabal kol mumshaba. And the man now says to the father-in-law, I accept. In other words, he thought that she's really crazy. I accept any mum, I'll marry her with all of her blemishes, with her craziness, I'll keep my promise, I learned my lesson. Hemid elavedim, they got witnesses. Bo estlas chilasis kimin haga, the father-in-law, future father-in-law, brought in witnesses, and she didn't know what was going on, and he called for her, and she came in, and she starts acting, you know, she's carrying on, she's doing her routine. Sipala, so now the chassan tells the story of the chulda and the boar. He tells the story of Amrulai, and now all of a sudden she calms down. She says, "Afani bevisi amadati. I also have been faithful. I've kept the covenant. Miadnis yaish v'daitan. They made up their minds, and they were married to Parvaravu, and they had children, Bonim and the chassim v'aler Amar Kosov. And regarding these two people, the pasuk in Tehillim says." My eyes, the eyes of Hashem, are turned towards the faithful of the earth, towards those who are faithful. That's a gewaldige meise from the Rishayim. There isn't time. I'm sorry for keeping you so late. In order for you to construct walls, in order for you to build walls, in order for you to be among the mourners of Jerusalem, you have to act like you're crazy. That's the end. That's the bottom line. You have to be a mishugan. We've spoken about that before. David HaMelech made himself into a mishugan. All the Nevi'im were called mishugoyim, right? The Nevi'im are called in Tanakh, crazy people. And we have to be mishugoyim also. We have to make believe we're crazy. And if the whole world comes to us with a million offers to do this and to become like that and to do like this and to do like that, to change and to go, so you make yourself crazy. And then there'll come a time soon when the chassan, who seems to have been with somebody else, when the chassan will return to us. and we'll stop, and we'll hear the signs, and we'll know the signs. The signs will not be a chulda and a bear. The bear means the lowest depths, and the shamayim means the greatest heights, and the chulda means that being that person who's stuck between heaven and earth, that crawls on the earth. And we will testify, and we'll bring those as testimony, heaven, earth, and all that's on the earth and all that's in heaven, that the Jewish people have been faithful to God. And we waited for him all these years. He's going to be faithful to us too. We should be zoichim with Hashem to see that day. And Hashem will come and tell us, Amadati bebrisi, I have kept the covenant. And the Jewish people will say, Af anachnu, we also have kept the covenant. B'shomer hachomes. And on that day, Hashem will tell us, Kiyival bocha besula, Ken yivaluch, so Hashem will marry us, Kim sois chos no akala, Yosis alayach elokayach, we should be zoichim et Hashem to see the final chasna, the completion of what began, Hashivosu betamas, the ksuba being rewritten and delivered into the hands of the Jewish people, Mashiach sekeinu, Mehem yomeinu amein v'amein.